This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Rich Cioli Show Podcast.
Will Thursday night's Democrat debate, and we're all hanging out together at the FOP Lodge 5, and I hope you'll be there with us to see it, to enjoy it and enjoy the camaraderie and the mocking. Will that be the night that they finally take the shiv to Joe Biden? It's not looking good for him. There's a New York Post column by Michael Goodwin, which I thought was very, very smartly written, and essentially now talks about the fact that Elizabeth Warren is smartly sneaking up on the weak, bloodshot Biden from the left. From the left. Right now, at this point, Elizabeth Warren, America's mother-in-law, the former Native American, doesn't want to be the frontrunner. Not yet. She'd rather watch Joe Biden have the honor and the target on his back. Whenever you get into the race as the frontrunner, it's hard for you to then wind up being the nominee. Well, go back to 2015. Was Donald Trump the front runner in 2015? No. He was polling at anywhere from, 0% to 3%? I mean, there were not many people outside of the people that actually went to his rallies who thought the guy had a chance of winning. In terms of the political class, I mean, in the political class of the they call it the chattering class, the consultant class, whatever class you want to talk about it, nobody was really going on TV going, you know what, Trump's going to be the nominee, except for Ann Coulter. She was one of the few who was out there saying it. But for the most part, they were saying it's going to be Jeb. I remember having this conversation early on with a buddy of mine who was working on the Bush campaign, Jeb Bush's campaign. Please clap. And I said to him, well, it's not looking good for your guy here, man. He said, well, no, in the end, it'll be Jeb. It's just everybody's kind of got to get through this and everything. And I've made this comparison before. Joe Biden is Jeb Bush in a big respect. He's the front runner. He's the one that the party seems to want in a lot of respects. But the challenge Joe Biden had or Jeb Bush had back then, in addition to having, think about it, low energy, right? He was being challenged by the right to say you're not conservative enough. Joe Biden's being challenged by the left saying you're not woke enough. You're not progressive enough. You're not lefty enough. Jeb Bush had the name. Biden's got the name. Both had the recognition. I never thought Jeb Bush really wanted to be up there. I sort of felt like he had to be up there, like he was doing this because he just had to. Whether it was he had to because the party was making him, or he had to because he felt as if it was he couldn't let his brother be the one who became the president after all those years of everybody saying he was going to be the guy. Doesn't look to me like Joe Biden wants to be up there. I think he does it probably from the sense of everybody's telling him you are the only chance of beating Donald Trump, so he's doing it. I look at these two and I see a lot of parallels. And if you go back to 2015 and you look at that race, and you think to the challenge that Jeb was getting from the right, from Ted Cruz and some other candidates who were in the race back then. And meanwhile, Trump is kind of just capturing the populist moment of the day. You know, politics is always, I'd say, about moments. You know, would Donald Trump have worked in 2012? Probably not. Did he work in 2016? He did. It's always a matter of timing. Timing's everything in politics. And for right now, the question is this. Has the Democrat Party reached the moment where the pendulum for them has swung far to the left? And if it has, then what? But even if it hasn't, it doesn't mean that Joe Biden's able to survive this. Here's what I mean. A combination of factors, including a lot of energy on the left, him being a bad, lousy candidate, and other people kind of just subtly shivving the guy left and right, leads to him being a very weak front runner, and it's not even the election year yet. By this time of 2015, Jeb Bush was already very badly bruised in so many different ways. I mean, he was raising money, but he was badly bruised. And people were turning around going, huh? Really? Jeb? So then other people started to think, well, maybe Marco Rubio or maybe Ted. And I would say it was at that point when Ted Cruz was fighting for kind of the conservative soul of the party at the time. Look at the Democrat field right now. You've got Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren trying to take this in charge of the left, the progressive, the far left here. Biden in the middle, pretending to be this candidate that he's not really pretending to be a guy who can just kind of make it over the finish line. And little by little, she's kind of sneaking up on him. Little by little. But when you're the front runner, like Jeb Bush was, you got a target on your back. When nobody takes your candidacy seriously, like Trump did back then in 2015, well, you're able to do your thing and just kind of be out there and do your thing. So Michael Goodwin points out, I think very smartly, Biden will once again be the pinata at Thursday's debate because the best way for any of the nine rivals to gain ground is to beat up on him, as Senator Kamala Harris proved in the first debate. But Warren is the one to watch. Most national polls have her second, with two recent ones showing her trailing the former vice president by just 4 points. She's drawing them by far the largest crowds. And focused, energized, organized, Biden, on the other hand, had a terrible week with a growing realization in the party that his flubs, his memory losses, these things are not just passing problems. These things are legit issues that are going to, I think, be the end of Joe Biden's candidacy. But not only that, it's not just that. It's the fact that Joe Biden has fallen victim to the, I'd say, the siren call of the left of going, come far left. Come with us, Joe. Come far left. And, you know, a lot of the people that in Pennsylvania, for example, as everybody's looking at our state for 2020 being the state, I think in 2020, a couple things will happen. Based on how the Eagles played yesterday, we'll probably be Super Bowl champions. And based on how Pennsylvania matters in the 2016 election, whoever wins Pennsylvania will be the president of the United States. So I think everything is going to be decided. So much is on the line for 2020. And Biden's already now, he's made the following people mad. He's made coal miners mad. He's made people that work in natural gas mad. He's made people that work in the fossil fuel industry mad. He's made people that work in manufacturing mad. He's made all these people mad. But he's also made all the woke lefties mad. And he's got the bleeding eye thing. And he's got the lack of energy thing. And he's got the Jeb Bush establishment problem. Remember, the other big problem Jeb Bush had in 2015, this time in 2015, he was the establishment guy. At a time when the party said, enough, we're fed up. Enough. You know, there's a lot of people back then who said, I am so sick and tired of the Republican Party establishment. Well, you have that exact same feeling going on the Democrat side right now. Exact same side going on. Exact same feeling in the air. Sick and tired of this establishment. Sick and tired of these people telling me how I got to vote, what I got to do. And it's happening. You're seeing the parallels here back and forth. So the question then becomes, as we're all gathered together Thursday night at the FOP Lodge, is that the night they decide, all right, it's over for him? Or do they let him keep going? Do they let him keep going for a little while? See, that's the other question. He's got the money to keep going. There's no rush to get the guy out. So why not just let Joe Biden continue? I mean, think about it. Jeb Bush lasted a long time. So what's the harm? He gets to stay in the race, but meanwhile, he's not actually the person who's going to win the nominee. He's still out there. Think about that. David Axelrod, the 2008 campaign guru who put Barack Obama and Biden into the White House, has become a fierce critic of Biden. He said, quote, it's one thing to have a well-earned rep for goofy, harmless gaffes, but it's another if you seriously distort your own record. Joe Biden is in danger of creating a more damaging meme, Axelrod said on Friday. He was reacting to a Biden claim that he never favored the Iraq war, even though he voted to give President George W. Bush the authority for the 2003 invasion and turned against it only when the war went south. So the question then becomes not will they try to get Biden out of the race Thursday, but will they just try to just bloody him enough to let him hang on, to let him just kind of stand there for a while? Because as the attention's on him, for the base of the Democrats, the populist base, the base that's feeling the energy right now, it ain't with him. It's with other people. And then other people can rise without risking, and this is the key point, having to become the target. See, much like how when you're the quarterback, everybody's trying to get you. Everybody's trying to sack you. Everybody wants to knock you down. You wind up breaking your, you know, your collarbone or getting hurt. I mean, I make the comments about Carson Wentz getting hurt because obviously he's the guy everybody's gunning for. When you're the front runner, you're the guy everybody's gunning for. So the goal at this point early enough is not necessarily to be the front runner. The goal at this point is to let somebody else who's not going to be the nominee be the front runner, while you just quietly in the background be the candidate everybody secretly wants. Is that the strategy that America's mother-in-law, the former Native American Elizabeth Warren, is channeling? I believe it is. Will it work? That remains to be seen. But Thursday night is certainly going to be must-see TV. I can promise you that.
Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.